Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Bills and Browns Sunday. I mean, there could be more history.
Drink it in.
There could be more history than there is. And not even considering that the Browns took a few years off there after they were moved to Baltimore. But, like, you don't have many Kelly games against the Browns. There's one that, with Sal on especially, this is the time that he and I both went to in the playoffs. I'm asking you earlier, what's the Bills' play call from on a two-point conversion to save their season, end of the game, like Seattle last night? Well, that was pretty close. The way that game in Cleveland ended was pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Ronnie Harmon. Sal Capaccio along on this Football Friday, joining us on the West Her Hotline. And it's 35 years ago, but it's still very fresh. I have a couple of images from that day, and it's a great game. It's a Bills loss, so apart from that, though, it's a great game, Sal, to rewatch.
It's still, I would say, it was the best football game I had ever attended live until, unfortunately, another game the Bills lost, which was in Kansas City with 13 seconds left when the Bills led. Those are the two games I would put right up there as pure football games. Now, there's been joyous moments and occasions, 51-3, perfect right, game, yeah. You know, things like that. But, I mean, as far as a back-and-forth, incredible football game, that was always the number one on my leaderboard until the Kansas City game.
Are you guys looking forward to a grass field next year? Part of the allure of games like that, watch, because I love to yep. watch the old stuff. I love it when it's like it's a little bit dirty. It's a mud, yep. you know, just
yeah, yeah.
Are you guys looking forward to that next season?
I am looking forward to it. I still am very I look forward to that at stadiums the Bills are going to that have the grass field, like in Pittsburgh when that was the case or whatever, and thinking yeah. about it. Or you know, I guess you know, Miami one. Wouldn't be the same, but sure, yeah, I'm all for that, yeah. and I get it. There's a bit of an affinity for something like that for people like us who grew up watching it.
Yeah, I think the players certainly prefer it, right? For mm-hmm. like no sticking your getting your foot stuck in the turf, that kind of stuff. The only thing I worry about, you mentioned Pittsburgh, and you know, not that I'm anticipating this being a problem, but like. Is the turf, is the footing suitable, right? Are they just, like, mm-hmm. patching stuff up, trying to get by because they're so busy, be it with high school football or even college football? I don't know how much use the Bills field will get from other football, if any. But that's the one thing I worry about. Like, sometimes that Pittsburgh field, it looks like they're out there with Kansas spray paint just filling in, like, making it look like it's green and it's really just sawdust.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't know. Obviously, you know, they invest a lot of technology and research into having the best fields possible, but it is Buffalo. It will be a heated field underneath, and, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be absolutely pristine when the weather is a little bit rough out, but yeah, you're right about that part of it. But there is a charm of watching those games back like that, guys. No doubt about it.
All right, Sal. So what about this game? What?
I'm just looking out the windows where we are, and I mean, it looks like a blizzard out here right now.
It's just we're in a little bit of a tunnel.
We're in a wind tunnel. We're between the parking ramp and this draft house, which is on the opposite side of the street. And it just, sorry, Sal, I don't know where you are, but it is like swirling. I can't see across the street right now.
Well, Sal should get ready for swirling because the weather for Cleveland looks pretty windy. It's that time of year, of course.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract everyone.
What, if anything, about this game would worry you, Sal?
Just the Bills kind of not showing up with their A game, and that opens the door for a play here, a play there that doesn't go your way. You know, I don't think the Browns are as good of a team as the Bills, of course, but it's football, and the Browns beat the Packers in Green Bay. You know why? Because they blocked a couple kicks, and they played good defense. They got a couple things to go their way, and at the end of the game, you're like, holy cow, what just happened? Happened to the Bills in Jacksonville a few years ago, right? You're like, well, you just couldn't get out of their own way. So those are the things that worry you about a game like this. It's the NFL, and all it takes is one or two mistakes that you make, and suddenly it's a new ball game. But otherwise, I mean, the Bills should take care of business over there.
Yeah, that's very much how I feel. I mean, anything can happen, and there's no accounting for if, you know, the team, you know, if the Bills are not sharp or something. Like, you know, I can't predict that sitting here today, but it certainly could happen. Otherwise, Sal, I feel like if they're relatively buttoned up, I don't know what really should threaten them here. You know, the Browns haven't been running it great. I like Judkins as a player, but I don't know that their line is much of a threat, so I don't feel like I'm expecting to get run over in this game. Although I guess, you know, it could happen. The Bills have been leaky there, and if they miss a bunch of tackles, you know, that's, again, not sharp, right? So it falls under that category. Sanders, I think, is pretty proficient and likes to push the ball down the field. But I feel like with the heater that McDermott and Babich are on, like putting Drake May in a blender last week, they should be able to confuse Shedeur Sanders on Sunday, I think. I'd be really surprised if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that, you know, and in that game, by the way, referencing that game, Packers and Browns was in Cleveland, right? In Cleveland.
Yes.
So special teams were a big deal in that game. Special teams are a big deal in that game. The Bills' special teams have been buttoned up. But all it takes is a play here, a play there, like I said. And if they get rolling there, and they do have a very good defense. So, look, Denzel Ward isn't playing. The Browns are without some key players in this game. So, you know, they're also a team that, I guess at this point in the year, you could say evaluation mode, right? I saw the Chiefs' list of guys who aren't going to play, and I'm like, man, they're in evaluation mode, which is crazy. But the Browns, you know, they have guys that aren't playing in this game. One of them is Denzel Ward. I thought it was interesting today, Sean McDermott on with me on the Extra Point Show. He literally kind of, you know, he gave a clue into that. Like, they're thinking about that. He said, yeah, they have a corner who might not play. Like, it's just something on top of mind because he's a really good player. Mm-hmm. He's out. Jack Conklin is out, their offensive lineman with a concussion. David Njoku is out. So there's just, you know, some injuries on that side of the ball as well where you think, come on, you just can't let this team get off the mat.
Yeah, the Browns are 30th in passing yards this season, offense. That's not surprising. First in passing yards allowed, though. The best. So,
The Bills are number two, I believe.
Here, like, maybe the Bills can just sort of function and get through this game without too much of a sweat. But we've had all our questions over the course of the season about the Bills and their passing offense and separation in these points. This is not going to be an easy test, at least on paper, for that.
No, I agree with that. You know, this is a good Browns defense, guys. I mean, they get after the passer really well, but they do a lot of things well. If the Browns had a competent offense in any regard, they might be a decent football team this year. They just don't, and they haven't had a quarterback, and their quarterback makes mistakes, and they have a nice player at quarterback now who's young, and he's, you know, a good athlete and has high accolades, but what is he? We don't know yet. And from a start of a game to the end of the game, he has not really put together much other than one game in Tennessee where he's pretty good against Tennessee, I should say. So that's really what it is. And their offensive line is nothing what it used to be a few years ago. And with this vaunted offensive line, it was regarded as maybe the best offensive line in the league. And heck, I just told you, Jack Conklin's out. Wyatt Teller is questionable for this game. He might not play in this game, former Bill. I mean, so yeah, if they had a halfway competent offense, Jerry Judy's had a tough year. He's dropping passes. The only thing, Fannin is really good. You mentioned him the other day when we talked about him. And Judkins is a nice player. Judkins is getting hit as soon as he touches the ball, basically. Like, they have nothing They have really nothing on the offensive side to hang your hat on.
And you might have said it, but no Njoku in this game. Apologies if you did.
He did, yeah.
Okay. And Dylan Sampson, their other running back, rookie, is already ruled out. Judy. Yeah.
Didn't you have the – I'm sorry to interrupt you. Didn't you have the stat yesterday? Junkins yep. is, like, incredible proportion.
Yards after contact.
Yards after contact is incredible, right? Like, he's getting
hit
right away.
He has over 800 yards, and over 700 of them are after contact.
Right.
I believe. Sorry, if I remember the stat correctly, and it's not in front of me, but if I remember the stat correctly, here we go. 805 rushing yards, apparently, is what I'm reading here. 718 are after contact.
I was going to mention Judy. We talked to Daryl Ryder the other day. He blasted him. Just seems like, you know, how he plays and then a bad attitude to go with it. Right. I don't want to say that like I know it, but enough people seem to have. Remember Steve Smith when it came to Judy?
Yes,
so,
right.
You know, he probably was a name here and there that came up in all our conversations for guys that we'd want the Bills to go get.
Speaking of going and getting guys, Sal, Matthew Judon. That came across like that he was being waived a couple days ago, and I gotta admit I didn't tweet anything, but like I did the John Belushi one eyebrow up thing, like I don't know, that might be worth a shot. So
John Belushi,
I'm kind of all right with I'm glad that they claimed him. I mean I don't know if it'll mean anything at all, but you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. They are still, aside from Bosa, rushing four, not getting home a lot. So I'm open to trying another guy.
Couple things. First of all, yeah, Belushi was great with the one eyebrow raise, right? He's the best. I mean, he's the poster child
Thank
for
you,
that.
Joe.
You're right. Secondly, just to correct, he was not claimed by the Bills. He cleared waivers, and that means that he became a free agent. The Bills hosted him today on a visit. I'm told he has not signed yet. But obviously, it appears as though that is the case, that the Bills are going to sign him. He was in for a tryout. I can confirm. I'm sorry, a visit, not a tryout. Those are different. I can confirm that. He has not signed yet, but apparently they'll be churning over something on their practice squad, and Matthew Judon will come in. So what does that mean? The reason why, by the way, it is different if you claim or you don't. If you claim a player off waivers, his contract goes to you. Like, you assume the rest of his contract. And he has to go right to your 53-man roster. If he clears waivers, which he did in this case, then you can sign him to any deal you want. He's a free agent. So he'll get signed to the Bills practice squad, apparently. And then from there, we'll see what he has left. I'll say, first of all, years ago, when Matthew Judon became a free agent before he went to New England, I was all about him. I thought the Bills could really use this guy. Like, I really love Matthew Judon when he was in Baltimore. Love his game. Goes to New England, still a good player. I don't think he's quite now he quite what he was in Baltimore towards the tail end of New England. Goes to Miami. Dolphins fans will tell you he hasn't had a very good year. I think injuries and age have caught up with him in a lot of regard. That said, he is the kind of versatile player the Bills have been searching for, especially since Michael Hoyt left. I am not telling you he's Michael Hoyt. That's not what I'm comparing him to. But I'm saying they need a guy. Remember, we've talked about who's going to play that role. They signed Morgan Fox. Javon Solomon is playing that role. A guy who can play off the ball. He can play on the ball. If you need to kick him inside in a passing situation, you can do that. That's Matthew Judon. That's what he is. That's what he does. So I think from that standpoint is why it fits. Now you got to bring him in and see what he's got left. Is it really something that you can use? And then if so, you could elevate him. You have three elevations through the regular season. And then after that, it's unlimited elevations, by the way, guys. I mean, you know, Dane Jackson's out of them now, but once the playoffs come, they can put him up on the – they can elevate him. You still only get two a week, you know, per player, per team, you know, two guys to do it per week. But we'll see. So from that standpoint, sure. I mean, there's no harm there at all. We've seen guys come back in at an older age, like Trey White, like Jordan Poyer, who've actually made an impact on this team.
Give a guy a chance to win. I mean, morale being what it might have been in Miami, maybe you get a new gear from a guy at this point of his career. You like to think so.
Definitely worth the dart throw, no question in my opinion.
John Belushi. Here I thought I was taking a chance bringing up the Ronnie Harmon game.
The show over sounded older.
Died 10 years before that. With Sal Capaccio on – Sal had your back – on the Wester hotline. Sal, what a game last night. That two-point play – was kind of a shocker to see that call changed. And then overtime, Seattle game on the line. They go for the two and they get it. Some redemption for Darnold, a guy that we talked a lot about before the deadline, Rashid Shaheed. changed that game with that punt return, made a big play on offense later on. So there was a lot to see there, including that controversial reversal.
100%, I agree. And yeah, you're Rashid Shaheed, I mean, that punt return changes everything about the game. I mean, suddenly becomes a one possession game because they get the 2-point conversion there. And then now, like, it's a one possession game. All you need to do is get a stop. This is actually, by the way, a side note, this is why I like actually kicking an extra point to go down 8 instead of going for 2 to potentially down 7, because you miss, you're down 9. To me, you always make it a one possession game because the game flows differently. I think that last night was a great example of that in a different way. But once it becomes a one possession game, I just think the game is different. You play it different. There's just a little more pressure on the offense to have to move the ball.
Right.
And the defense, you know, gets a little more aggressive. And I think that happened. And they get the ball back. And then they go down. And then they score. And then they go for 2. Okay, so here's my biggest issue last night. I understand the spirit of why they changed the rule years ago and said, look, it's a continuation and you pick up the ball and we'll award it to the team. You can't advance it. Here's the issue I have. Ever since you are a little kid, you are taught in every sport essentially, but especially football, you stop at the whistle. That's what the whistle is for. You're not hitting people after the whistle. You're not making plays after the whistle. When the whistle blows, you stop. And I just think it's such a terrible precedent to have a sport that is so violent to say it's okay to do things after the whistle. So I get it. You're going to get bad inadvertent whistles that shouldn't blow at times. That's the human element. It really sucks. But I mean, what about in hockey? What about in basketball? Are we doing things after the whistle? The whistle stops the play. To me, the whistle should always stop the play, period.
Yeah, it makes sense. You don't need the whistle anymore, I guess. You don't need the refs anymore.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing? It's another one of these deals where, Sal, you know, I don't know. Should I believe that the next time a play like that happens, that SkyRef will choose to intervene? It sometimes feels random. And I think if I'm a Rams observer today, the whistle point is a good one, too. Because don't we still have... Oh, whistle blew it dead, therefore, like, the ball's dead.
Right.
Like, no fumble recovery, that kind of thing.
Well, let me say this. Let me ask you this. Like, for anybody, I got a lot of pushback on that today because I tweeted that. Like, we teach kids at the lowest basic of levels, the basic tenet of football is to stop at the whistle, right? Like, even if a guy is standing around before the whistle, you know, we'd call that when we were kids, we'd give him a turkey shot. If he's standing around, the whistle hasn't blown, you hit him because he's...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Standing around like a turkey. So you call it a turkey shot. Even that's frowned upon now. But I'm telling you, after the whistle, you don't touch people. You don't do it. So anybody who says, well, you know, it's continuation and all that. What if someone would have blasted Zach Charbonnet for going for that ball? And then are we going to sit here and say, oh, no, that's totally cool. Cause after the whistle, there's a ball sitting there.
Right, 100%. There's a personal foul penalty there.
That's right.
There's a flag in the air for sure. And maybe if they'd done that, the review never happens. They just get penalized on the kickoff or something. Like, I don't know.
We needed Mike Curtis. I'll take my turn going back 50 years.
Yeah. All of this.
To blow him up.
I just always, I try to, you know, remind fans as best I can. Like, just keep your eyes open. Like, this could happen, maybe will happen to the Bills. You know, in some way, shape, or form. Like, I know Jeremy last night was tweeting the way, or maybe it was this morning, you know, the way the Rams, all the stuff that kind of went sideways, you're like, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Why did, the field goal they missed late looked like it was going through, but it didn't go through. Like, what happened there? This review, all of it, it's just a weird outcome. And that, even with all the sky refs and all the king's men and the king's horses, you still get these outcomes that you're just, how did that happen? Should that be fair, allowed? Like, it's just, it's tough.
Yeah, I know. And then, the sky ref coming in and changing it. It's, there was no challenge on the play. So you guys talked about the fourth down stuff earlier, and that's a great point, right? Like, the holy roller changes everything, where now the rule is, as everybody should know by now, if it's fourth down or inside 2 minutes, if the ball is fumbled forward, only the guy who fumbled it can pick it up. Well, that actually does apply to two-point conversion plays. So why didn't it apply here? Because it's not considered a traditional fumble. It's just considered a backward pass lateral that went forward after that. So now, just, there's a lot of stuff to digest thing. About this.
There's always one more thing they make you need to know. Now if that's not a fumble because it was not a traditional fumble. I mean, just it never ends. There's always something else you need to know. And guess what? After all these countless changes and the technology and everything else, we still talk about this league the same way as we ever did, which is all about the mistakes and confusion. I mean, not all about that. We love it, but still, like it. Somebody. You need to remind people every once in a while that all these advents, replay and moon ref and everything, doesn't work well enough. It doesn't get you to results that often enough are clean, if you will.
Traditional fumble, new fumble.
It never will. It never will, because there's always so much within a game that isn't called, and it's subjective and how it's interpreted. And we're not using technology for everything, thank goodness. Maybe we end up there. It seems like maybe we are now. Maybe anything can be reviewed, or just it makes you kind of crazy. Seattle did go for two after the Shahid. They were down
16.
It was 30-20.
Oh, sorry.
On the punt return. So they needed two twos.
Right. Yeah, they
and
did.
They
yeah,
got
yeah,
them
yeah.
both. Seattle needed.
By
both
the way, and then in the 2-point conversion to win the game. I mean, the 2-point conversion to win the game. That was a great play. What a great play design. I love that. Like, that was great by Seattle to do that, and you know, in the end zone there. But yeah, you're right. And I mean, I don't know if you're referring to what I was talking about before, but in a different situation, like we had this debate in the Bears Eagles game a few weeks ago, where the Eagles scored, which put them down 9, and there was a debate: should they go and kick it to go down 8, or should they go for 2 to go down 7? And well, the more information you have, so you should go for two early. I disagree with that. I think you make it a one possession game. I just think the game flows totally different after that, because you're not guaranteed. You're much more likely to get the one than the two, obviously.
Sal, thanks. Enjoy your trip.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our man Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Are you watching much of this bowl game that's on here? Every play is a fumble.
Really.
It just looks like every time I look at it, the ball is right. It's this. It's just bouncing crazily, and hopefully they're not having too much stress over whatever these calls have been made or whatever replay.
Yeah, I don't know.
The role replay is played in this one. NC State 31, Memphis 7, 11 minutes to go. We are at the draft room in Buffalo today. Stop by for a chance to win a Josh Allen jersey. No purchase necessary. Brought to you by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Here for your calls next, if you've got them, 803-0550. We're overlooking the Browns, the AFC playoff picture. We talked to Mike Dempsey earlier from Jacksonville. What does Jacksonville seem like as a potential AFC playoff opponent? Jags Broncos Sunday in Denver will be a pivotal game in the playoff race. Back after this timeout, it's Football Friday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.